There's a new 5-part plan to allow certain regions of the state to open up to more activity.
Just as public health indicators will tell us when to move forward at any time, they could also signal that we need to move backward.
That's Governor J.B. Pritzker. I'm Ryan Denham, and this is WGLT's The Leadoff.
Support for WGLT's The Leadoff comes from listeners like you. Join the community of news consumers who listen to this podcast and are willing to support it financially. Contribute at WGLT.org.
It's Wednesday, May 6th. Coming up, what you need to know to start your day. It's The Leadoff from WGLT, Bloomington Normal's public media. Let's lead off with the latest from the coronavirus in McLean County. There were two new cases reported yesterday. That brings our total to 104 confirmed patients. Most have already recovered. But the 16 people in home isolation or hospitalized is actually the highest number of active cases we've had since April 15th. Statewide, there were 176 new deaths reported yesterday, the highest daily total yet. That comes as Governor J.B. Pritzker announced a regional plan to eventually reopen the state. The plan breaks up the state into four sections. We're in the north-central region, along with Peoria and the Quad Cities. Each section of the state will be monitored for improvement in health metrics, would be classified at one of five stages. The state is currently at level two with a slightly relaxed stay-at-home order. If regions show improvement, hair salons, retail outlets, and offices could open with limits.
And I won't open the door to overwhelming our hospital system just because a loud but tiny minority would like to indulge in that fantasy.
Later phases in the governor's plan would allow schools and colleges to open up. But the final stage, stage five, which would allow for stadiums full of people, would require a vaccine or better medical treatment for COVID-19.
It brings me no joy to say this, but based on what the experts tell us and everything we know about this virus and how easily it spreads in a crowd, large conventions, festivals, and other major events will be on hold until we reach phase five.
Many downstate lawmakers supported a regional approach to reopening. Pritzker acknowledged them at yesterday's briefing.
Senate Republican leader Bill Brady and his caucus suggested using our EMS regions to shape a reopening plan. Indeed, that's the structure of the plan that I present today.
The full Restore Illinois plan is available at coronavirus.illinois.gov. Here are some other stories we're following in the WGLT newsroom. An OSF healthcare home monitoring program for those with coronavirus-like symptoms or at high risk has nearly 300 patients in Bloomington Normal and Peoria. The Pandemic Health Workers Program aims to keep people out of the hospital if they don't need to be there. Hy-Vee stores, including the one in Bloomington, will limit customers to 4 packages of meat at checkout. It comes amid disruption in the food supply chain caused by COVID-19. And Bloomington High School will move its in-person graduation ceremony to December at Grossinger Motors Arena. They'll do a drive-through event as well on May 24th. In Unit 5, the two high schools are scheduled for an in-person ceremony August 1st, with a senior celebration video being released May 23rd. See more on these stories at WGLT.org. The coronavirus pandemic has brought the live music scene to a screeching halt. Peoria-based Jay Goldberg Events and the affiliated Canopy Club in Champaign have joined the National Independent Venue Association, or NIVA. This national consortium of smaller to mid-sized promoters and venues has retained a lobbying firm to secure federal funding for venues and promoters whose revenue streams were cut off during the pandemic. Company president Ian Goldberg tells John Norton he was thrilled with the state of live music in 2020 before the pandemic forced most of the country into an extended shutdown.
It went from what looked like it could be a banner year to, of course, probably being what will be one of the most difficult years of our life.
Well, it's interesting because, at least in the past, local promoters or regional promoters, notoriously territorial, for lack of a better way of saying that, right? I mean, it can be a vicious business, but it sounds like you are teaming up with other venues, other regional promoters in a way that maybe you wouldn't have done before this?
It certainly has been something that has brought us all together and brought us to the table. We want to be a part of the community. We want to be presenting these shows so that we can support the whole local community and not have other people coming in from all different areas. And again, just taking the money and running is kind of the idea. Live Nation, you know, kind of started the gambit of solving that problem by going in and just buying all the local promoters in all the major markets, and then gaining enough market power that they were able to squeeze all of us promoters that are in some of the smaller markets. And that's gotten us to the point where, especially in the face of this crisis, we all realized that to a certain extent, we need to band together and you know, settle on trade policies that we feel will support our ability to continue to perform in the marketplace.
Is there anything that you've identified so far that venues could do or promoters could do to try to recruit something? Is there something the venues can work with the artists to do something virtually, or is it still totally who knows right now?
At the moment, it's still who knows, because, you know, it's difficult to get artists, you know, some of the electronic artists that are sole performers and have their own like little studio setups in their homes are able to do some more live broadcasts. When you get to bands such as Umphrey's McGee, where, you know, they live in different parts of the country and are all, you know, home self-isolating, it's more difficult to do that type of thing. But we're certainly looking for avenues. And again, that is where NIVA comes into play is, you know, it's an opportunity for all of us to talk about, hey, I had this idea, I'm trying this, or I'm trying this. And if we can identify ways that work, we're certainly very interested in figuring out how we could be generating any revenue. And you hit a good point. I mean, it's often hard for people to understand. I know they think that there's just tons of money in being a successful band, but there are bands that, you know, would be considered very successful that are playing, you know, large rooms, 2,000 to 5,000, but they're really on razor slim profit margins, you know, once they pay their whole crew and they pay for all the production that they take out and everything like that. You know, they're making a decent living, but it's not like they're going to be able to afford to keep all those people on salary for a year of no touring. So, you know, I think the unfortunate thing is we're probably going to see a loss of some artists just because of the fact that they can't keep it together during this time to make all this work.
Is music an essential business?
I certainly believe so. I mean, I think that throughout all times of crisis, you've seen that people turn to art and music in particularly for entertainment. And there certainly is an element of a social voice to it. It's really scary and hard to imagine what things are going to look like once this does settle down, but hoping we can find a way back to normalcy.
Ian Goldberg of J. Goldberg Events and Promotions speaking with John Norton. Before we let you go, the McLean County Board's Finance Committee meets today virtually at 4:30. Thanks for listening to The Leadoff this morning. Support for this podcast comes from listeners like you. Contribute at WGLT.org.